Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how big is the Jewish community in the Netherlands? The Jewish Historical Museum Foundation was established in 1930 for the purpose of collecting and exhibiting that which presents a picture of Jewish life in general and Dutch Jewish life in particular, in the broadest sense of these terms, discussing in meetings everything related to this, and making use of all such means to promote Jewish art and learning. The museum itself is now housed in what were originally four Ashkenazi synagogues built between 1671 and 1778. Permanent exhibitions include Religion, History of the Jews in the Netherlands 1600 to 1900, and History of the Jews in the Netherlands 1900 to the present day. The museum's resource center holds approximately 43,000 books, brochures, documents, photographs, and audiovisual titles, all of which are available for consultation. In the unique Hands-On Children's Museum, children from ages 6 to 12 can learn about Jewish life and Jewish traditions in a playful way, with videos, games, and more. It features three floors that have been furnished as the home of a Jewish family, the Hollanders. Mom, Dad, and the three children each experience being Jewish in their own way. Max the Matzah is the guide in the house. He tells jokes, has a lot of wisdom, and makes the visit into a real party. In the living room, visitors meet the Hollander family. In the music room, they can play instruments. And in the kitchen, children learn about kosher food and can bake their own challah, which is the braided bread for the Sabbath. We spoke with Monsef Bechoff, the museum's marketing and communication manager, about the history of the museum and its different sections and exhibits. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of the Ashkenazi community in Amsterdam, because the Jewish Museum is built in what was originally the first Ashkenazi synagogue, wasn't it?
Yes, we have a history from the 17th century here, and we had first Portuguese community, so the Sephardic community, arrived in Amsterdam and in Antwerp from naturally Spain and Portugal. And a little bit later, the Ashkenazi Jews arrived in Amsterdam. And both, of course, were fleeing. One group was fleeing for the Inquisition and for the Catholics, and the other one was fleeing for the Ashkenazim for the pogroms. But it's a well-known story. What we see is Amsterdam was a good place to be, more even so than other cities. And so there was a very vibrant society here. In 1675, the big Portuguese synagogue was built here, and just a little bit later, the four Ashkenazi synagogues that the Jewish Museum is now in. And the Ashkenazi community grew, and what we see is that when the Portuguese community was actually quite affluent, and they were doing well, and they actually were occupying themselves with each other, so it was a strong community. The Ashkenazim Jews were a little bit less fortunate, so there was not so much money, not so much welfare, and they had a tougher existence. And you see, this area where the museum is was the bustling community, with a lot of people working in the markets and selling and stuff like that.
Something that I've always wondered is, why was Amsterdam so friendly to the Jews? Because so many parts of Europe, as you said, mm-hmm. were rejecting the Jews, and they had the pogroms, and they had the Inquisition. And what was it that made Amsterdam different?
Well, Amsterdam was a little bit inspired by the Enlightenment, first of all. And what you see in the 17th century, the Dutch had a different kind of government, and especially in the big cities, the government was formulated by merchants and by an elite population that were not so much interested in to be intolerant, because tolerance meant that a lot of people came in here with their trade knowledge, with their relationships. And for example, the Jewish population, they were well connected, and they were hard workers, and the Dutch were more interested in economic welfare than in being very Catholic or Protestant or whatever. They didn't care.
Do you think that the sea had anything to do with this, and the fact that the Dutch were explorers and the Dutch were settlers? I mean, other countries
Maybe.
Were too, like Spain, but I was just wondering if there was a kind of a more cosmopolitanism.
Well, there was, because there was a lot of trade, and the Dutch, the Republic was a trade society, so people really didn't care what other people were and where they came from, as long as they were useful. And that is, of course, a very good way of being tolerant. But, of course, they didn't want the Jewish people to be too Jewish, not too visible, but that was a normal thing. So that's more the reason. And because we had the harbors, of course, it was easier to be international. But it was a very international city.
One of the signs, one of the parts of the museum, mm-hmm. tells a story that to me was a very funny kind of a story, that this Ashkenazi Rabbi Halevi, who was in Germany, met these 10 Portuguese Jews, and he told them to go to Amsterdam, and then he came to Amsterdam to be their rabbi, and they were celebrating some kind of a religious service in his house, and the police or the authorities came, and they were going to arrest them because they thought that they were celebrating a clandestine Catholic service, and when they discovered that it was Jewish, they said, oh, okay, we're really, really sorry, we apologize. And I thought that was such a change in the way Jews were normally treated.
No, actually, that was just, we don't care because they're not a threat, but the Catholics were more of a threat to the Protestants than Jewish people were, because the Catholicism and Protestantism were much closer, of course. Mm-hmm. And that was a matter of who was in charge in the country. But the Jewish would never be in charge. So they didn't care. It sounds very stupid, but it's the truth. So they were free as long as they were within limits and certain jobs they couldn't have. But the Jewish people were okay with that. As long as they were left alone, that was the most important thing.
So what was the relationship between the Sephardic and the Ashkenazi Jews here? Did they keep pretty much separate?
No, it was friendly, but it was basically like the Catholics and the Protestants. They didn't mingle. There was hardly any connection. They didn't marry. So it was separate, basically. But they, of course, realized they were part together of a minority group. But it was really different, yes. They had their own system, their own place to go. Everything was separate.
Now, the part of this museum that is in the original Ashkenazi synagogue, you can see that the structure of the synagogues is very similar to the Portuguese one. Is that because of the time in which it was built? Was that just the style?
It was the style. There's a sort of a Dutch style of building synagogues, and especially the synagogue, the Portuguese synagogue, became a model for other synagogues in the world, and also, of course, here. And you can see the Portuguese synagogue is inspired by the temple in Israel, in Jerusalem. You can see it on the back and etc. And the model of the Portuguese synagogue was also a little bit of a Dutch model, which you see here in the rest of the country, but you see it also elsewhere in colonies. And so, yes, they were very linked, because also the architect of the Portuguese synagogue was not a Jewish person, and heroes. They were just famous architects.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
We were told that the Portuguese synagogue was not harmed during World War II. Can you tell us what happened to the Ashkenazi synagogue?
Yeah, that's a little bit different story. Well, the Portuguese synagogue was actually protected as being a very important monument and very important collection. The whole collection of the Ashkenazi synagogues, because there were four, everything was taken away by the Germans, German occupiers, and during the war, the interior, all the wood of the interior was taken away, ripped away by people, especially in cold winters. So in the end, it was basically an empty shell. So after the war, it was empty for many years, and only till 1987, the Jewish Museum was able to get in here because they were in a different location. So it took more than 30 years actually to recreate something of the old atmosphere and to make it into a really beautiful museum.
Can you tell us what the museum contains? A little bit about the organization.
Okay, yes. It's a very versatile museum. We have the history of 400 years of Jewish existence in the Netherlands. So our history basically starts in the 17th century. And we have a lot of objects from the 17th, 18th, 19th century. Also more recent objects and paintings. We tell the story from the entrance of the Jewish people in the Netherlands, and we tell how the emancipation, how it grew, that the importance grew, the trade of people. Until now, we tell a lot of stories about what it is to be Jewish in this day. Naturally, we have a small section in this specific museum on Second World War, but we also have different locations outside of this museum that tell specifically about Second World War. We have a memorial, and we're building now a new museum on the Shoah internationally. So we have that. We have a lot of videos, interviews, photos, objects, paintings, actually a lot. Yes.
I've noticed that a lot of the artifacts that you have are very, very unique. Mm-hmm. Where did they come from? Did they come from people in the Jewish community in Holland, or did they come from abroad?
Most of it is our own collection, and the museum has been there since 1930, so it's already an old museum before the war, and we got a lot of stuff back after the war, but people donate it a lot. We buy still many specific pieces with help of all kinds of funds. So we try to collect all the time, but we only go for the really important things. And of course, we get a lot of donations from people every year.
How big is the Jewish community now?
In the Netherlands, we believe it's like 51,000, 52,000. And before the war, we had approximately 150,000 people. But, no, as you know, 108,000 Jewish peoples from the Netherlands were killed in the Second World War.
And in Amsterdam?
We had 80,000 Jewish people. And after the Second World War, 60,000 were killed during the war. And of course, from the people who returned from the camps or hiding places, some people emigrated to Israel or to other places, and some started to build up their lives again. Yes.
Do you have any idea how many there are now here in Amsterdam?
Not exactly, but we know that the majority of the Jewish people in the Netherlands live in Amsterdam or in Amstelveen, which is a smaller community next to Amsterdam. But I think it will be like 35 or 40,000 maybe. Yes.
Tell us something about the resource center that you have here. What does it do?
Well, it maintains the collection on paper, documents, letters. We have all the books that are relevant for Jewish history and photos, for example, so documentary photos. So we also have a collection center that is more the art photos and art pieces. And the resource center is the place where people can search in the archives, can work with original materials or facsimile. It's the place in the Netherlands where you can find anything on, let's say, your Jewish roots if you want to look for it, or Jewish history, or you name it.
So a Sephardic Jew whose ancestors ended up in the Netherlands by leaving Spain and going through Portugal, mm-hmm. and then to the Netherlands 500 years ago, this is the place to come to find information?
Absolutely, but specifically because since 2009, we are also responsible for the Portuguese synagogue and the archives of the Portuguese community there. And, for example, Etz Chaim, which is the oldest still existing Jewish library in the world. We are the resource center is now also responsible for that library. So we do have an enormous wealth of knowledge here.
Have you digitized most of this?
Yes, a lot we have digitized, but we're still working on it. For example, the Etz Chaim library is all the manuscripts are now digitalized. There is a special website, Etz Chaim manuscripts, but a lot of the others are slowly digitized. Yes, we are.
Tell us about the visitors. Do you have any idea how many come here every year?
to the museum or the Jewish Cultural Quarter, because we have four locations, including the Shoah Memorial, Portuguese Synagogue, and this museum, and the Children's Museum here. We have now 284,000 people that visit us. And in this museum, the Jewish Museum itself, it's now like 130,000 every year.
Tell us a little about the Children's Museum.
Yeah, we love it. This year will be the 10th anniversary of the Children's Museum, and it started as an educational project, but people love it, and we have actually one whole small synagogue specially made for that museum. And it has three levels. It has a kitchen where children can make their own challah. We have a studio where they can write their names in Hebrew, a bedroom. We have all kinds of things, videos. It's a beautiful place where actually a lot of grown-ups want to be. They love it because it's very low. I would say it's very easy to understand, and it's the best way actually to find out what it is to be Jewish or what it means. And yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, I imagine you get a lot of school groups. Is there education in the public schools here in the Netherlands about what it means to be Jewish, the Jewish community, the Shoah, that sort of thing? Do children's groups come here from schools as a part of the school program?
Yes, they come here, and then they at school they get the lessons on being Jewish or Jewish tradition. But in general, in the schools, you don't learn what it is to be Jewish, but it's mostly history, and you see that they immediately go to the Second World War. That's the problem, of course, that a lot of people, a lot of children learn that Jewish is the same as destruction or as discrimination, or, and maybe not because of the school, but or Israel. So that's a problem. We have now a new educational method. It's called I Ask, and we try to talk to children and to other people and try to tell them that there's more than that. So it's also 400 years of history. It's a good thing. Being Jewish means that you look after the people next to you and the one you love, and it's a lot of tradition, and it's actually a beautiful faith. So that's what we try to teach them. But it's still a challenge.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.